Gentlemen, ladies, welcome to another episode of the 51 Yard Line. I believe this is number 3-1, right?
I think so.
Hey, I got it right.
Hey!
Boom!
We're off to a good start.
All right. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Tyler Berry. To my left, the incorrigible Drew Willers.
Football's back. That's all I have to say.
Woo! To my other left, the pride of the East Coast, Christian Schneider.
Thank you. Good to be back.
And the man, the myth, the legend may be trickling in here at some point, but we are not 100% sure. We're planning on the episode being without him. Maybe that's him in the ambulance out there. I hope not, but it very well could be with the way he eats food.
Or somebody going to grab one of his victims who said bad things about Colin Kaepernick.
That's actually probably more likely.
That person should have known better.
He should have known better.
Steve's
I assume
he's a psychopath.
He is.
He's a crazy man.
But I would never say it on the record because I don't want to be said victim. Oh, okay. So you're probably...
Drew, you need to be careful on Monday, dude.
So, we're officially looking for two new hosts. One to replace Steve Cravens, because he will be in jail. And another to replace Drew Willers, as he will be in an ambulance.
Love you guys, bye!
It's been fun, Drew.
It's been a good run.
Yeah, 31 episodes?
31 episodes before Steve
That's Reggie Miller's numbers.
I really thought Steve was going to kill me before 31.
Even Studio 60 didn't get 31 episodes.
I kind of thought he was going to kill you before we ever started this podcast.
Well, he's definitely going to kill me on Monday night because the Vikings are going to throttle the Niners, and I'm
proud. Wow.
Woo!
Shots fired.
Big man saying him while he's not here.
I mean, who knows it's coming.
Yeah, it's true.
We all do.
All right, well, with that being said, we have an insane amount to get to and not a lot of time to do it. So if you've missed the past couple episodes, which you shouldn't have because that would mean you're not a loyal fan, and well, frankly, my feelings are hurt. But if you had missed the last couple episodes, we have been breaking down our predictions for each and every division in the NFL, and we've still got four more to go and only 2 days until the start of the season. So
we're running the hurry up.
We are running the hurry up, and
going no
Drew, it's first down, baby.
Okay.
Bring it.
Let's do it. NFC South, a very, very weird division. Very weird last year.
Understatement of the year.
I think by far and away, I think unanimously speaking, I think I speak for all of us, that was the worst division in football.
It was
in a while.
It was a dumpster fire.
It was a bowl of pears in a dumpster that was fully engulfed in
flames. Can you even call a division that has no team over 500 a division? Because I can't.
I don't know.
A disgrace, maybe.
You could certainly call it a disgrace. You could call it the cellar of the NFL. That being said,
a disappointment. A lot of things that start with D.
Yeah, they were kind of the middle child of the NFL this last season. Just overlooked, not really talked about. Nothing really important happened in that division, other than the Carolina Panthers winning the division and earning me $30 worth of drinks. Thank you, Cam Newton. Thank you, Carolina Panthers defense. That being said, I'm sorry, Carolina. You guys will not be returning as champions this season. I believe that it is now the Atlanta Falcons division to run. I like Dan Quinn a lot at head coach. It's going to be slow, but I think the defense will turn it around. I also think an aging Drew Brees on an offense that now has much less to throw to now that Jimmy Graham has departed via trade to Seattle. I just don't see the Saints contending. I would have picked the Panthers prior to Kelvin Benjamin's ACL tear. That changes things a lot for me because that offense really, really needed him. And they really, not only did they need him on the field, they needed him to take the next step. He had a great rookie season. It's hard for anybody to really talk about anybody who was a rookie receiver last year not named Odell Beckham Jr. But I read a really good article. That might have been, we could be talking about last year's draft class in receivers being one of the best we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because you had Odell Beckham Jr., you had Mike Evans, you had Kelvin Benjamin.
To a lesser extent, Sammy Watkins.
Look at what the potential that Sammy has moving forward now that they've got LeSean McCoy in an actual running game.
Sure, yeah.
Things that, you know, benefit a little. Not really. I was going to say might have benefited Odell Beckham Jr., but they didn't really have much of a run game anyways. So.
Nah.
They had Rashard Jennings, right?
Yeah.
I was their running back, so. But yeah, I think Carolina will be coming in second this season. I think the Buccaneers I want to put them third. I think they will surprise. I don't think they're that good yet.
Are you a Winston believer?
I was going to say, that's the question.
You know, I haven't seen a lot yet of him. I saw him in the one preseason game against the Vikings. His offensive line is crap. Yep. It's a total crap fest.
No question.
And I understand that a lot of that has to do with, you know, the quarterback needs to speed up his progressions. He needs to make quicker decisions. But it could be, this first season could be a lot of David Carr syndrome. You know, he could end up on his back a lot, and it's hard for a guy to learn and grow if he's constantly getting shellacked and he's constantly thinking he's going to. Like, even if the pressure isn't there, rookie quarterbacks get happy feet because
they're
rookies. On as far as the eye test goes, Winston looks like a professional quarterback. He just does. He looks the part. He's big, he's strong. He seems like he's a great leader on the field. He knows how to win games. Even when he wasn't at his best in Florida State, he was at his best when he needed to be, and that won them games, helped him win a national title, go undefeated. Those aren't things that I think you definitely have to take that in consideration, even though, you know, college games are over.
Sure.
Those days are done. He's on to the NFL level now. You can't discredit what he did at, you know, Division I football. That's high-level football still, and he played very, very well.
Except for his last game of his
career. Yeah, that was really, really bad.
59-20.
Having Mike Evans is going to help a lot. I really like Mike Evans.
Is this a bounce-back year for Brenson Jackson?
See, I don't really think so. Year older.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, I mean, year older, slower. I know he was never really a speed guy. It was all about, you know,
height.
The height, the deep threat, throwing it up. I just think Mike Evans is going to steal the targets. And Doug Martin hasn't looked
rightfully so
super bad either. Like, Doug Martin hasn't looked terrible. But
yeah,
again, that offensive line sucks.
Yeah, they're talking like he's the Doug Martin of 2012. And I'm just like, that offensive line is too bad for... Cause even if he can be that explosive off the blocks, he's still going to get shut down because that offensive line can't create holes for him. He's not going to be able to run to the outside every single
absolutely.
Run.
Right.
If I could, I would like to say that the Saints and Bucks will tie, but unfortunately somebody's got to be in last. So I think the Saints will just barely squeak ahead of the Buccaneers this year for
3-13.
Third place. I don't know. Are you talking about the Saints? Or are you
if you're
the
putting
Bucks?
Them in last place, that's I'm just curious.
Well,
as what
the Bucks, I think the Bucks could win. I don't have their schedule in front of me. I think they could win four games. I think they could split with the Saints. They'll get swept by the Falcons. They could. I could see a situation where they might sneak one away from Carolina, just because.
I think Carolina jumps all over them with that O-line, man.
I agree with that. The only thing that I will say is, Tampa Bay's defense is a lot better than people give them credit for. I don't like the defensive coordinator, but Gerald McCoy is awesome. Cam's not going to have a run game, and he's not going to have hardly anybody to throw to. So that situation, based purely on defense alone, it would have to be at home. I mean,
yeah.
It would have to be in Tampa. They're not going into Carolina and taking
yeah.
a game to Carolina there. But I think all of that, and Cam didn't look that mobile last season. Like, he...
Nah.
And he could be...
Granted, he was hurt, but still.
Was, but, you know, he wasn't super, super mobile. I can't imagine. There's nothing sticking out at me that makes me think he's going to be more active running the football. I'm not a big believer in Jonathan Stewart. I'm not either.
I never have been.
I don't understand why they didn't try to upgrade their run game. It just seemed like that was such a need for Carolina's offense.
It just feels like they put all their stock
That's
into
true.
Throwing the ball, and now,
yeah.
God, who are they going to throw to?
No.
Who do they have? Ted Ginn Jr.? It's
Funchess, Devin Funchess.
Well, and he's not even
going to
be ready
Olsen
for week one.
Again, but whatever.
And he's not. And
wait, Funchess isn't going to be. Oh, I didn't know.
As of now, he's not ready for week one.
Is he hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so they're not. They probably it's 50-50 whether they'll have him week one at this point. So
yeah. Recap. Long story longer. I think it goes Falcons, Panthers, Saints, Bucks.
My question to you
sure.
though: Falcons winning the division are they going to crack 500?
See, that's the other thing.
That's my question. Like, is it going to stay?
Do
this
we
bad?
See another year of a division with no 500?
They should all just automatically miss the playoffs.
I agree with that.
Send them to the NIT of football.
I would say play
the CFL playoffs.
I would say no, I don't think that will happen just because, you know, I feel like we've seen more ties than we as kids ever saw growing up.
Without question.
We've seen way more than the last. But that being said, they still are a rarity. And technically speaking, Carolina shouldn't have even had that tie. Like, Cincinnati was in field goal range at the end of the game to put it away for good.
Right, I forgot they missed the last field goal to get that tie.
The guy shanked a chip shot at home. So, I'm going to say no. I think one of those clubs will at least be 8-8.
Such a leap of faith.
I can't see any team winning 10 games out of that division. I don't see Atlanta being that good yet to do it. I think... but I like Dan Quinn. You know, granted it was against the Tennessee Titans and it was against Marcus Mariota, but the two takeaways that they had early on against Marcus Mariota, I think that's the type of defense that we're going to see more out of the Falcons. Those are the kinds of things that Dan Quinn preaches in his defense. Go for the ball. Take it away. And they're going to have opportunities with a rookie quarterback in Jameis Winston to do that.
Yep.
I think Cam Newton, as much as I like Cam Newton, when you're telling Cam to sit in the pocket and be the sole passing decision maker, he's going to lay him out there, too, for teams to take away.
Yep.
I think for all those reasons, Atlanta's going to take a step forward. I think they're going to – maybe they give them 9-7, but I'm thinking 8-8.
Okay.
I think everything else beneath them is trash.
Who's your bust?
My bust out of the NFC South, I'm going to go with – I wanted to go with Doug Martin – but I actually liked what I saw out of him this preseason, so I'm gonna go with Drew Brees. I think it's gonna be bad. I think it's not gonna be good at all. I don't like anybody he has to throw to. There was once upon a time when Marcus Colston was one of the best fantasy football pickups you could ever have, and now
you're not sold on Brandon
very,
Cooks.
I'm not personally.
Okay. No.
I think what made Cooks good, what made the Saints even remotely good last year was Jimmy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just requires that kind of attention. He demands that kind of attention from a defensive secondary.
And you saw once he was not 100%, it really affected their offensive efficiency.
Oh, absolutely. And I like Cooks. He's good. He's fast. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how proficient of a route runner he is. I don't know. Can he create separation on his own if he's... If he's in like single high safety coverage and the safety's over, is he going to be able to make plays by himself? And right now, I think the answer is no. I don't look at Cooks the way I look at Mike Evans, Odell Beckham Jr., those guys.
Kelvin.
Those guys, it doesn't matter how covered they are. I mean, you will throw them the ball and give them a chance to go get it. I don't feel that way about Cooks. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel that good about Breeze's ability to even if he had to do that, and I felt that way about Cooks, I don't feel good about Breeze's ability to give him a chance. Like, I don't see it. I mean, Breeze did not.
What is it for you? His decision-making, his arm?
No, decision-making's fine. I just think the arm is bad.
Yeah.
And there's zero run game. There's no Jimmy Graham. So you got Marcus Colston, Brandon Cooks, and who else are they throwing to? I can't think of
anybody. I honestly can't name one.
I just think he's at a point in his career. I think he and Peyton are due for just don't. I just think they're going to fall apart. I think that's the way it is right now. I also just don't think the vibe is really good in Saints camp right now. Like, people aren't really talking about Peyton and Breeze. They were, you know, post-Katrina when they were lighting it up. Yeah. You know? Like, I'm not afraid of Drew Brees anymore. The Vikings should have taken a game from them in New Orleans. Should have.
Mm-hmm.
And the refs basically, well, I'm not going to put it all on the refs, but because Drew Brees threw a hissy fit and got up and started slapping a guy who suplexed him.
That was garbage.
It's like you're an NFL quarterback.
That was garbage.
So, I don't know. I like Drew Brees as a person. I think he's a great ambassador for the league. Future Hall of Famer.
No question.
I just don't see it going well. Due to arm strength, due to lack of targets, due to just age in general, I think it's just going to happen. That last game they played, they had a chance to go to the postseason at home. At home. It's freaking... It is so tough to go into New Orleans and win that kind of game. And Carolina didn't just win it.
What was the score?
I don't think crazy. The Saints even scored a touchdown.
Not that I remember. I mean, I can't recall the exact.
I just remember thinking that game and the Patriots in Kansas City were the two worst performances of the whole regular season.
It was bad.
It was awful. Considering
I don't know that that Bengals Monday night game where
Denver.
Yeah, where didn't Dalton throw for 80 yards or something?
Oh
like
yeah,
that?
I forgot about that. That was pretty.
That
bad.
Was absolutely.
But considering
horrendous.
The circumstances, though, for the Panthers.
Oh,
like,
okay, sure. Yeah,
like just must win and going out and crapping the bed. I mean, that was ludicrous.
I mean, and there was two. Wasn't there? There was at least one pick six.
Probably.
Yeah, Brewster definitely. Oh, yeah. Definitely threw one pick six. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a believer. I'm not a believer this year. I think Breeze busts hard.
Do you have any sleepers?
My one sleeper. I just feel like this division is mostly full of guys that we already know exactly what we're gonna get from them for the most part. My temptation, I don't know hardly anything about him, but Tevin Coleman is somebody who him and TJ Yeldon, people are snatching off of draft boards in my fantasy mock drafts. Yeah. They went much earlier than I expected them to do, so I can't really label him my sleeper because I don't hardly know anything about him, but I would put him in the conversation. I think Doug Martin could be sneaky good. I don't think he's I don't think he's 2012 Doug Martin. I think it's way too early to say that, and their offensive line is shit. That being said, he's looked competent. He's looked like he's a guy that can get you at least 4 yards a carry, 3 or 4 yards a carry, which is what you're desperately going to need if you've got a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. So that would be my sleeper.
Okay.
Do you guys have any thoughts, feelings, impressions, comments, criticism?
I think the NFC is already honored by the amount of time we spent.
Yeah,
on
I'm kind of
so
with
awful.
That, man. It's
they're terrible.
Like,
props to you for having to do the research on them.
Oh, I mean, it's. I mean, I like Carolina. Like, I don't know what it is, but I do like Carolina as a team. Outside of that, though, yeah, man, there's not many teams that are super, super exciting. It is a bummer for Carolina because you threw a shit ton of money at Cam Newton, and he and Kelvin Benjamin. I mean, you know, yeah, they didn't. You know, they went 7-8-1. They got into the playoffs, finished below 500. That being said, they won one playoff game, and what did they win? They had to win like 6 or 7 in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they closed well.
That was pretty good. So I was really excited to see how they were going to be moving forward. And then you get preseason injuries. Preseason sucks, and I want it to go away.
Me too.
Sad.
Just 2 days, boys. Just two
days. I know.
I'm so excited.
All right.
Well, with that, Christian, God damn it. Just go.
Yeah, man.
Well, you know, I mean, I just, you know, I've had a really bad feeling about the first 4 weeks of the season. Oh, wait. Never mind. AFC East has totally changed as a result of Judge Richard Berman ending Brady's suspension. Let's talk football.
If
this
any of you guys need me, I'll be over in my kitchen making drinks for myself. Multiple drinks.
Hey, see, you should like this, man. We're going to finally get the Colts-Patriots showdown that we all wanted. No questions asked. None of the controversy nonsense. Let's play football. That's what
No FU mode Tom Brady because it's his first game of the season.
Well, we'll see.
That's what I was scared about. FU mode Tom Brady is one of the most frightening things I've ever seen.
I just can't help but wonder if FU mode Tom Brady might still have some residually lasting effects.
Shit.
Just because of the summer
he might be fuck you mode Tom Brady for all 17 weeks of the regular season.
That would be great. I would love that. But the bottom line is AFC East, in all seriousness, is actually going to be a really good division. Finally. I hate the fact that I'm scared of these teams now, but the fact is, every team in the AFC East besides the Patriots got better, and the Patriots got worse. So, Patriots, the world knows that we let Darrelle Revis go back to his douchebag Jets. I wrote in our 51-yard line article, it's like the greatest one-night stand of your life. Nothing can ever take away what we had, baby. But you went back to your shitty boyfriend right afterwards, and that sucks.
Yes.
So, Revis is gone. Browner's gone. Even Kyle Arrington is gone. So,
and Jonas Gray.
Whatever. I know you're happy about
that.
Yeah,
fuck me. I'm happy about that. Goddamn Jonas Gray.
He looked so bad in preseason. I'm delighted that he's gone. But The bottom line is the Patriots' secondary is a wasteland. So that's going to be the story of their season. You know, this secondary looks so bad that they even look worse than the 2013 secondary, which was pretty bad anyway.
Just put T.Y. Hilton on go rounds, baby.
I know. That's why I'm worried about playing the Colts. I mean, if you guys...
Dante Moncrief, go rounds.
I'm telling you. Like, actually, though. So, Patriots have taken a big step back. We also let... pour one out for Big Vince Wilfork, man. A great...
He's awesome.
Great, if you're watching Hard Knocks, watching Hard Knocks right now, he is a treasure.
We should totally have Vince Wilfork.
I know,
on this
man.
Podcast.
I know. First celebrity guest.
Vince, if you're listening, and clearly you are, because we're the most respected podcast on the interwebs.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board. Wait, no. I mean, yeah, but what you said. But what I was going to say is, come on the show. We got you.
Do both
for sure.
But yeah, Vince Wilfork gone. We got Malcolm Brown, a rookie out of Texas, who's replacing him. So that's a big question. You know, he may be awesome. He looked pretty good in the preseason, but he's not Vince Wilfork. No one is. So Patriots have taken some steps back. Now, looking at the rest of the division, we've got Miami Dolphins, who, you know, second verse, same as the first here. The Miami Dolphins look really good. They should be really good. They've gotten better on paper. Let's see if they actually prove it over the top. Ryan Tannehill, he's going to be a very good quarterback. I think he's a dark horse for the Pro Bowl. I mean, he's gotten better every single year. Last year, 27 touchdowns to 12 interceptions, and he didn't have a whole lot of options. I mean, trying to get Mike Wallace to work. And,
I was going
to
say, Wallace got 10 of those, and he was playing way out of system.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. And now, you know, he's got some new toys to play with. They've got Ndamukong Suh adding to that already nasty pass rush. I mean, I think the Dolphins are the primary threat to the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. Let me take a deep breath here, because the Buffalo Bills upset me a great deal. Not only is toe-sucking Rex Ryan still in the AFC East, but he's got a bunch of tools to play with now. Marcel Darius already declared them as potentially the best defense of all time. Thanks, Marcel. That's going to be on the bulletin board. And in addition to that, they've got Shady running back for the Bills now. They've also got the beloved Richie Incognito.
Great.
As well as locker room poison Percy Harvin.
Class.
God,
ass.
What a bunch of charmers they got.
Organization.
These are a bunch of tools. Sammy Watkins, obviously he's good. And the big question mark for the Bills is Tyrod Taylor has won the starting job for now.
Hey, quick sidebar. I was at a consignment shop today, and lo and behold, the one NFL jersey that I saw there was a Vikings Percy Harvin jersey.
Really?
I definitely almost bought it for you.
Yeah, it was probably dirt cheap, man.
It was dirt cheap. It was like 14
was
bucks.
When you say consignment store, do you mean a 99-cent store? Because that's where they would have a Percy Harvin.
No, I mean a store where they pay you to take their things. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Back to Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, so Tyrod Taylor... massive question mark. Obviously, he was a backup for the Ravens. Totally unproven, but he looked good in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll
there's
see
a reason
how
they
goes.
Gave him the starting job, and it's because he looked like he knows how to play in that offense.
Right.
He knows how to throw the football, which, unlike Cam Massel, who they just brought back after cutting him 3 days ago.
I saw that. It's good for him.
It's just like a wake-up call, I guess, for Matt Castle. Why?
Well, I think it was...
mind games?
I think that's more or less what it was.
Yeah.
I think... I'm guessing I read
it. It had to be, because literally once he cleared waivers, he was back on the squad.
Yeah. Right. But, really briefly, they're not going to win Jack, but the Jets, they got Todd Bowles, who I love. I think that's a really good pickup for them.
Bowles.
They've still and listen, they've got Revis and Cromartie in the secondary. It's not 2011 anymore,
yeah.
But they still are good players.
They also got
Brandon Marshall, and normally I wouldn't care about that because Geno Smith's a moron and he would screw it up, but hey, they cracked his jaw and it unexpectedly made the Jets better. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not gonna screw up like Geno Smith. So, anyway.
Thanks, Ick Patuli.
Who probably got picked up by the Bills. Screw the Bills.
Yeah, but he got cut.
Good.
They didn't resign him?
No.
Oh, I thought they did.
Really?
They didn't pull him. I
might have been
wrong. They didn't pull
a
Cat Massel.
Oh, no, he's on their practice squad.
That's it. That's it.
Okay. He's definitely not on their 53-man.
No, you're right. You're right.
Ick
Patuli.
Erpader.
So, anyway, I've vented enough about how much I hate the other AFC East contenders. Here's my predictions. I think that this comes down to week 17. I think this is going to be a total dogfight. I think Patriots-Dolphins in Miami will determine who wins that division.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay.
And I think the Patriots, I hope that happens. And I think the Patriots are going to win. I think the Patriots hold on, but I think the Patriots secondary is going to get torched a couple of times by non-conference opponents.
Cleveland. Kansas City.
I was going to say, what?
It's like Cleveland.
No. Even on that.
Football team.
But yeah, I think Patriots grab it. I think Dolphins miss out by one game, but they get the wild card and get into the playoffs. I think the Bills, I'm not sold on Tyrod Taylor. I think he may be perfectly serviceable, but I don't see that he's going to take them to the next level. And this is, once again, Rex Ryan, different New York team, same problem. It's your quarterback, bro.
Yep.
I think the Jets are still going to be awful, and that's all I have to say about them. I think for my bust for this division, I got to go with LeSean McCoy. I think that LeSean McCoy, despite all of his grousing about Chip Kelly, actually benefited from playing for Chip Kelly and his system.
Yeah.
He got a lot of running yards. He got a lot of points for that.
He got a lot of touches.
He made a lot of fantasy owners very happy because he was playing for Chip Kelly. And I don't see that he's going to have that same level of success in Buffalo. I think they're going to try to make him the focal point of their offense. I don't know if they're completely equipped to do that. I'm just not sold on, you know, I'm not sold on the Bills' offense. I think their defense is going to be great, but I don't think that their offense is going to be, you know, up to snuff. And I think LeSean McCoy, teams are going to key on him. They're going to load up the line against him, and I don't think he's prepared to deal with that.
Well, yeah, and on top of that, isn't the way Rex likes – I mean, Rex likes a run-first offense. He likes to ground and pound. That being said, most of his running backs through the years have been more between-the-tackles guys. That's not really what Shady does.
No, exactly.
He's really more off-tackle, sweep, counter – to the outside sort of back. So
right.
They're going to be, like you said, stacking the box against him, which they absolutely will because you don't know what Tyrod Taylor is going to look like.
Right.
If you're asking him to run north and south, much in the way that the Saints initially asked Reggie Bush to do circa 2000 in, what was it, 6 or 7 that he got drafted?
Something like that.
But
2006, I think.
But
that was a while ago.
I know, right? But then, you know, it didn't work. And so you had to, and they literally had to pull him and just turn him into a bit running back.
Right.
You know, screen dumps, third down situations. I don't really see that being different with Shady and the Bills.
Right.
Like, I think he's way out of system. That's just me, though.
No, I'm totally with you on that. And I mean, I just think that that's going to be the story of their season. I think that the Bills are going to definitely upset some good teams. I think they could very well beat the Patriots, you know, week two when we got to go over to Buffalo. You know, they're going to be, you know, chomping at the bit for that game, obviously, because obviously there's already some egos on that team, and Rex Ryan knows exactly how to stoke the fires. That's the problem. No, like, everybody in New England hated Rex Ryan staying in the division because he knows how to beat us. The Jets, no matter how bad their season was going, got up to play the Patriots because he hates Belichick, he hates New England, he wants to take a chunk out of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got at least more tools now to work with.
Any sleepers?
My sleeper for this, it's hard to say that he's necessarily a sleeper, but I think he's a guy who's just going to exceed expectations. It's Tannehill. I'm buying Tannehill stock.
Okay.
I think he's a sharp guy. Great. I think his team is going to be better. They brought in some new receivers. I think Jordan Cameron's going to be a good addition to that team. He's got
Not
Cameron Jordan.
And they drafted Teddy Bridgewater's teammate at Louisville, Devontae Parker, right? He's supposed to be pretty good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they got one more other receiver. Is it Stills? Kenny Stills that they brought in?
That sounds right.
I want to say they brought in Kenny Stills. Yeah,
that sounds right.
We have the technology.
But, yeah, he had more weapons.
Make him better.
He had more weapons to work with. He's got more years on him. And, you know, then you've also just got to just look at, like, the Dolphins. You know, it's just time for them, you know? They've gotten marginally better. Philbin's got the owner breathing down his neck. It's put up or shut up time for
him.
See,
I think that's actually, if I looked at the Dolphins personally, I think that's their only problem, their head coach.
You think Philbin?
When he would not... Side note really quick. Yes, Kenny Stills is a Dolphin. Also, Greg Jennings was another...
Right, Jennings!
That's what I forgot about Jennings.
Right.
When I look at the Dolphins on paper with the roster, I'm a fan. I think that they're built to be a... Not just a divisional winner. I don't think it... I mean, it's tough to say this because what I'm about to say is I don't think that they're just built to contend with the Patriots to win the division. I think they're built for bigger things and longer postseason runs.
But
to compete with the Patriots in that division should already suggest that you're ready for that step anyways because the Patriots...
Right. If you can challenge the Patriots, it means you can challenge anybody.
Exactly. My question to you, does anybody in that division beat New England in New England?
Good question. I say no.
Yeah.
I don't think they win in Foxborough. I think Patriots drop a game in Buffalo. I think that's, you know, week two. I think we lose that game.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I think that they're going to be ready to roll. The Patriots, they often start their season slow and have to work out the kinks. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't think anybody beats the Patriots in Foxborough. If I had to give a chance to one team, it would be the Dolphins. Jets aren't beating us in Foxborough. I don't think the Bills are. I think Dolphins have the best chance to do it because when they play their A game, just looking at their team, when they play their A game, they can beat anybody.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, are they going to be able to nail down the consistency?
Right.
They start the last couple of years, last two seasons, they were looking pretty good. They were looking like they were in the playoffs, and they fell apart down the stretch. Can they sustain a full season? Here's the interesting thing, side note about the Dolphins. Their first six games are all breezes. They should be 6-0 after their first six games. They're going to be favored in all those matchups. Week 7 or week 8, depending on what the bye week is. Their seventh game, they're going into Foxborough. That's where they prove if they're legit or not. I fully expect them to lose that game. But if they put up a really good fight, they take them down to the wire, you'll know they're for real because they have a backloaded schedule.
And that was the thing, Christian, you brought up consistency. That's why I find Philbin to be the biggest problem. Okay. Personally.
Sure.
I think consistent, yes, the players play the game, but to get a consistent level of elite play out of your players, all boils down to the head coach.
Yeah.
And if he can keep you motivated to do that week in, week out. And I'm sorry, when he refused to commit to the media that Tannehill was starting.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was obnoxious.
That was stupid.
That was a media spectacle solely created by the franchise's head coach.
Right.
So, I mean, they were asking other players, and the other players were like, yeah, I think Ryan's starting. And Tannehill was like, yeah, I think I'm starting. And then they'd ask Philbin, we don't want to commit. I'm sorry. Fuck you, man. You're an asshole.
And who the fuck did they even have that would... They could even fake
nobody.
That
was
they
why
would
it was,
start
That's
at
why it was stupid.
Canada.
There wasn't a controversy in any way, shape, or form.
I was absolutely ridiculous. I forgot all about that, but that was ridiculous.
That's why I'm not... Like, I on paper, on both sides of the ball, the Dolphins look good. I don't like Philbin. And yeah. I think that if they don't make the playoffs this year, regardless of where they finish in the division or how tough they play the Patriots, if they don't go to the playoffs, he's gone.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Reed just needs to get his brother in line.
I know, right? Wanted to make that joke. All I can say, just to sum up AFC East, if Ndamukong Suh steps on Brady in either one of those games,
Jesus.
I'm going to throw my own personal hissy fit. Screw that guy. I already hate him. I hated the fact that when I was writing my article previewing the Patriots season, I had to look up how to spell Ndamukong.
Yep.
It's very frustrating.
You should have just spelled it wrong
just to spite him. Yeah.
Norn Damenkrans.
I'm sure that I'll have S-O-O. Lots to say about the lovable Mr. Sue for the rest of the season, so I'm just gonna let it lie.
You should just spell his last name S O O
or S U E. Boy named Sue, dude.
See, I see what you did there. That's why we pay you the big bucks.
That's why we brought you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Well, with that, I guess we'll.
Here we go, baby.
Move on to the AFC.
Really well.
Yeah, third down, baby. Move on to the AFC South. AFC South. I'll just go ahead and get the rankings out of the way. Colts, I believe, I think we stick to what we've been sticking to when we have another 11-5 season, which is fine. I'd like us to
get a little... Wow,
11-5, that's good. And you know why I didn't go 12-4 is because I think the Bills give us a real run week one. Week one, you've seen it the last couple seasons. It's always that week we need to really work out our kinks. Like, we always have such deplorable preseasons for good reason, because we don't like to play our quality players for very much time at all. But, and no, trust me, I'm not complaining about it. I believe the year we won the Super Bowl, we went 0-4 in the preseason, so I'm never going to complain about resting our starters. But I just, it always seems to make week one a little bit harder than it ends up needing to be for us. Like, I want to say, was it 2 years ago? I think we lost to the Raiders in week one. Maybe it was Luck's rookie year, but I believe we lost a really easy matchup week one. And then we turned it around and finished 11-5. But it's just one of those things where going up against the Bills in week one, going up against a Rex Ryan-led team, against a really solid defense that was a good defense even before Ryan came in, I think that sort of keeps us at that 11-5 mark instead of bumping us up one game.
Is week one in Buffalo or Indy? I can't remember.
We have the technology.
Buffalo, I think.
Is it Buffalo? So you're saying Bills win that game?
I'm saying it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Okay. Yeah. You were bringing up records,
I'm saying they could win that game.
Okay.
It is in Buffalo.
Yep.
It is in Buffalo, and then the Jets come to town, and then you go to Tennessee.
And my Colts fans are going to hate me for saying that, and I respect that, but there's a sole reason why, and you can read it in the article I wrote for the51yardline.com, and it really just boils down to getting our offensive line in check. Clearly, we have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. No one's going to disagree with that, except maybe one person that we know, but then, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But we've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, but he has to throw the ball too much.
Mm.
And it's not just that he has to throw the ball too much, it's that he has to throw the ball under pressure too much. Luck had 40
on his butt, man.
Luck had 40 touchdowns last year. Absolutely fantastic. Through his first 3 years, he has the NFL record for most passing yards through a quarterback's first 3 years. Stunning. Absolutely fantastic. 16 interceptions. I'm okay with that ratio.
To 40 touchdowns?
To 40 touchdowns.
That'd be just fine.
But... Hell yeah. What's the kicker, and what loses us games, and what could potentially lose us this game against the Bills, is he also had 12 fumbles last year.
That's a lot. That
is a lot. A couple of those bad snaps, a couple of those he was just not paying attention, he just had sloppy hands, but the majority of those came off of a pass rush where he had to scramble and try to get rid of the ball, and he got hit. 12 fumbles for a top 5 quarterback trying to lead his team to a Super Bowl, unacceptable. We have that again, and there's no shot at us going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's going to take us a couple weeks for our offensive line to really get in their groove. Because if you read my article, you would see the stat where we literally had 15 different offensive line formations, like, of players throughout the year last year, because we had so many injuries. We've got a center who started 3 games up to this point. We've got a right tackle who had to shift all around all last year and barely got to play his own respective position. It's going to take us a couple weeks to really get in our groove, and I think Buffalo might be able to take advantage of that. Long story short, that being said, it's still the Colts division. 11-5, we take it. I'm sorry, the Texans aren't going to get it done with Brian Hoyer. I love J.J. Watt. Even though he's in my division, I am just such a huge fan of his. I have the utmost respect for him. I have a lot of respect for Jadeveon Clowney, and he makes me nervous. I could see them maybe stealing the one in Houston, maybe, if somehow they just really get to our offense and our run game is non-existent, which,
hey, they
fingers
got
crossed,
big,
it's
they got
not
big
gonna
Vince
be
too
like
now,
that.
Man.
Yep, and they do. And that's another thing.
Trying to stuff Gore.
I'm really hoping we can get Frank Gore going because he's a great running back, and it would be a waste to have our offensive line not create the kinds of holes that he needs to get positive yardage. But at the end of the day, you've still got Brian Hoyer under center, and as competent as a quarterback as he's shown himself to be, he can't throw the ball. He can't throw touchdowns. He's a game manager, and that's it. And the Colts are not a team that loses to game managing teams. No. If we're going to lose, we're going to lose because it's a goddamn shootout. You saw that Pittsburgh Steelers game. They had to throw up 55 points to beat us.
That game.
Two questions. One, does Frank Gore's age freak you out at all? Does that deter you from what you might have signed him on for, that he's not...
You know, you might think that it would because he is on the downswing of his career, but he got utilized so sporadically last year that I think he's still decently fresh. What scares me more is what I just said. It's our offensive line getting us some run blocking going, because we have not been able to put that together in any regular sense for the past couple of years. Like, since Andrew Luck's come into the league, we haven't been able to establish the run to free him up to get going with the play action, because that is not something you see from us a lot, is the play action.
Yeah,
and I just really think if we got more of that going, you would see a lot more deep throws connect than that.
The second question that I had, I'd read that this offseason, not necessarily this offseason, but just more recently, Chuck Pagano has been... apparently having there's a power struggle of some sorts going on between him and the front office. Is that a real thing?
I've heard he's on the hot seat. I don't know.
Well, but
I've
read that he
is
wants
really
more. What I read was is that he wants more control over player personnel, that sort of stuff, and that's something that the front office doesn't want to see to him. Do you foresee that being an issue, not just going into the season, but if things don't exactly get started the way that, you know, this organization is hoping it'll start, do you think that it could grow, perpetuate, and then become an off-the-field distraction? Or do you think that Chuck will keep things pretty much on lock in the locker room?
What I've always liked about Chuck is just how classy of an individual he really is. I think if even there's an internal power struggle going on, which I honestly haven't heard that much about it. Maybe it's just because I haven't been paying attention to the right mediums.
It wasn't like bigger. I mean, obviously the headlines have been dominated by certain particular issue going on.
Another AFC organization.
I don't know what you mean.
are we talking about?
Yeah, I just read...
Rex Ryan?
Read briefly that he wanted more power.
Sure.
And the front office didn't really want to give that up to him.
And I could see him wanting that from the standpoint... I think everyone's still a little worried about Jim Irsay and how he's affecting the team. And, you know, he's seemed, at least recently, like he's shaped up a little bit, but... Also, we've been in the offseason for a while, so you never know what you're going to get with that guy come the start of the season. Right. So, if anything, I think Chuck is smartly wondering what Jim could possibly do to negatively affect his 53-man roster. So, if anything, I think he's wanting more power to sort of quell any type of personnel issues that could come from that. But at the same time, he's still such a professional guy that I really, if it's going to affect anything, it's only going to affect him off the field. I don't think it's going to affect anything on the field.
I just want to bring it up. This from NFL.com. The general manager, Grigson, and Pagano, both have denied that there's a rift.
Okay.
But it says here, Where was it? Blah, 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 blah. What is the Star? Is that the name? Indianapolis?
Yeah, the Indianapolis Star. My dad worked for them for a long time.
So the Star also noted that whereas lineup decisions are generally the domain of a team's coach, Grigson does insert himself into such situations. The newspaper
pointed
to Grigson
interesting.
Switching centers twice. So that was Grigson's call last year.
Wow, I actually didn't know that.
Switching centers twice last season, writing of the perception in NFL circles that Grigson is calling most of the shots at Colts headquarters. And apparently Pagano. If that is true, if the general manager is deciding who is and isn't playing, then Pagano has every right to ask for more power. Because that, as far as I'm concerned, the general manager shouldn't even have... He should have a say. There should be a conversation. If he feels strongly about a guy or guys that he's brought into the team, if he should have a voice to the head coach saying, like, hey, we should think about giving these guys a shot, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, though... You gotta let the head coach do his job.
Oh yeah, agreed.
Like, let him pick
hands
who he wants.
Off.
Just keep it away.
I guess what I would say is that until I hear it having an effect during the season, I'm not gonna worry.
See,
about
and that
it
was either. The only reason why I brought it up, because it sounded like it had a little bit of an effect on last season. If the switching of the centers and the offensive line fluctuating,
the switching of the centers is a tricky thing. Because
was that more of must or
it was some must, it was some injury, and it was some due to the fact that, and I could be wrong about this, but I'm speculating that Grigson really wanted to give Khalid Holmes a shot.
Okay,
he's who I was referencing, who only started three games last year, and now it looks like he is the definite starting center for the Colts now, and I think. I would suspect that it had a lot to do with that because everybody was really excited about this kid, and I think probably Grigson really just wanted to give him a shot earlier than he actually got a shot. And the point we've gotten to is he might have been right. He probably should have gotten more than three starts last season because it would give us more of a surefire center for this season. But I'm excited about Khalid Holmes. I think he's going to be really good for us this year. So, that being said, Colts take the division. Titans are behind them.
Wait, Titans or Texans?
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say Texans.
Like, whoa! I was like, Barry's high on Marcus Mariota. Holy man.
No, sir. No.
So, it's Houston in second and then third.
And then I would go Titans third because I do think, Mariota's an upgrade from Mettenberger.
Yeah.
Faint praise, but yeah.
Faint praise. And then, unfortunately, it's just been a rough go of
it
for the
sucks
Jags,
to
man.
Be the Jags,
and
man.
I,
that sucks.
For starters, they gotta live in Jacksonville.
There's that.
Which no one does.
I didn't know that was a place until I started watching football. That
it's actually the biggest city in Florida.
Is
I didn't
really
know that. There are more people there than in Miami. God. Which makes me feel sorry for all those people.
You lose your first overall pick.
Which is just awful.
Dante Fowler.
A week after you sign him.
1 week after you sign the guy. Done.
Brutal.
You're one, probably, probably the splashiest free agent acquisition this young organization has ever had in Julius
Thomas.
Done for half the year. Or right about half the year. I mean, obviously he could rehab faster than you expect, but... It's 4 to 6 games right there.
Yep. And of course, not that it's been relevant in the past 18 months, but the best wide receiver you've seen in a decade in Justin Blackmon is just an idiot. And he just couldn't stay on the field. So it's like you've gotten a lot of pieces over the years that just for one reason or another, just call it bad luck for the organization. Just didn't pan out. They could be a really solid middle-of-the-pack team right now if a couple of things had worked out in their favor. But
honestly, if anything had worked out, nothing's worked out for them.
But alas, we're sitting here, and who is Blake Bortles throwing to in the first 6 weeks of this season?
Marquise Lee.
Great.
The opposing D-backs is who he's going to.
That's probably most accurate. Yeah.
Sucks, man. That I do not envy. I mean, you look at the type of situation that other rookie quarterbacks get to walk into. For the most part, most rookies, I feel like, end up walking into shitty situations because, I mean, that's why you draft them
right.
so high, because you were a dumpster fire the year before.
Right.
That being said, Blake Bortles has got to be dealing with the worst set of circumstances of any quarterback.
I feel bad for that dude
because
he really does have good potential.
He seems like it. I mean, again, I don't watch
him and Derek Carr.
Football.
I just worry that they won't have the careers that they could have because
he went to
of
Central
the teams.
Florida, right?
Blake?
Yeah.
I don't remember,
to be honest. We have the technology.
We do have the technology. I'm pretty sure it's Central Florida, which I think is where Dante Culpepper went to college.
While you're looking that up,
yes,
let
sir.
Me get to my bust. And
yep.
it actually contradicts a little bit what I just said. I think this year's bust is Marcus Mariota.
Hmm.
And it's not because he's not good.
So the loser is Zach Mettenberger.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Bust.
That's what
he's
I was
going to
say. It sort of contradicts, but not really, because I still think he's better than Mettenberger. It's just at the end of the day, Bishop Sankey is his number one running back.
Yeah.
So you're not establishing the run anytime soon. And who is he throwing to?
That's a name. Whether it's a Titan, I'm not sure.
I literally can't name someone who he's throwing to.
Yeah. And I mean, J.J. Watt's probably going to snap him like
a
twig.
He's throwing to Justin Hunter.
Don't know who.
Kendall Wright.
Hey, I did.
You did know that. I'm proud of you for that.
Yeah. That's what mock drafts look like.
Bishop Sankey is his running back because David Cobb is injured.
Right.
Guy was a gopher.
Delanie Walker is his tight end.
Right.
That is a high-powered offense.
That's a real
Dexter
team
McCluster
of rivals
is on
right
that
there.
Team? Dexter McCluster is on this team.
He left.
Oh, Nate Washington. Yeah.
Woo.
Harry Douglas.
Wow.
Harry Douglas is still playing football.
Wow. This is bad, dude.
I felt my
this is worse than I even thought.
They're gonna give the Colts a run for their money as the best receiving core.
Really, really quick.
Anthony Fasano.
Really quick, super sidebar. Worst offense this season. Cleveland or Tennessee? Go.
Cleveland's
worst offense in Tennessee.
Cleveland. The fact that they're still talking about Johnny Football as their starter means they're the worst.
I'm a believer. I think Johnny Football
You're going to go down tied to that mast.
I might.
Over under on weeks until your next Johnny Football article. I'm setting it at 5.
Well, if it's at 5, I would hope that would mean that he has started a game and is doing well. That being said,
either,
I don't think it'll be...
I was going to say more likely it's about his latest DUI.
Yeah, that's not
the
nice.
Fall of
that's
Johnny
Football. That's just rude.
He went to rehab, man. He's better now.
All voluntary rehab is... No, I'm just kidding. Never mind.
I'm not going to open that can of worms. Any playmakers.
It's Cleveland. They have the worst offense.
Horrible.
I think Johnny Football could be one of the only ones. But yes, no, Cleveland will definitely have a worse defense than Tennessee.
Yeah.
Still a believer in Johnny Football. I believe it.
All right. Well,
all right, Steve.
In terms of sleepers.
Oh, right. Well.
Bishop Sankey.
Oh, God.
Bishop Sankey.
No,
Bust
you know what?
2,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, and nobody saw Tennessee coming.
You know what? I don't know that I have a sleeper in this division, to be honest. Do you
Drive
guys?
Harder.
Just getting what you see?
It's a weird division in that I don't feel like there's...
You don't seem to be a big believer in... And I totally see why. You don't seem to be a big believer in the quarterback situation in Houston. That being said, if I had to pick one, DeAndre Hopkins, I think, could be really, really good.
Oh,
sure.
A lot of people are
buying high on him.
I just don't.
Yeah.
Do you even consider him a sleeper at this point? He did have a break. He did have a pretty solid year last year, even behind Andre Johnson.
Yeah, and then that's the thing. I mean, I guess I'm looking at all the candidates. I'm looking at expectations, not just for him, but the whole team in general. And I don't know. It seems like more and more, and
he does look so good.
He does look really good. I think the main thing for me why I would pick DeAndre Hopkins is I think it's going to be beyond him just What is going? I'm sorry to our listeners at home, but our
dude,
cat is
our cat is freaking out right now. It is great.
He likes Papa Bear's takes on the AFC South right now. But yeah, I think DeAndre Hopkins.
I think it's a solid pick. I'm really excited about DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, that's the thing. So, like, if you look at the quarterback situation.
And by excited, I mean scared.
Whether you're a believer or a non-believer, you have to take that into effect. And then you look at him going from being the number two guy to the number one guy. How do you expect defenses to adjust preparing for him? Because largely, they were mostly focused on Andre Johnson.
Right. Brian Hoyer throwing him the ball just worries me.
Yeah.
And by worry, I mean excites me. Because he's going to throw it straight to our defense.
Do you feel good about Indianapolis' defense this season?
I feel okay.
You can pick them as a sleeper.
I feel okay.
Yeah, I mean, I
that's actually part two of what I'm writing for the website. So I'll get more into that tomorrow when I put that article up.
The thing that really confused me about the Colts offseason was... I think that, I mean, it was a no-brainer. The offensive side of the ball was way better than, it was light years ahead of the defensive side of the ball last year.
Not even.
Offense was our best defense last year.
Oh, absolutely. and so, and like you said, you got the game in Pittsburgh, a huge shootout, and that's the way you need to beat the Colts. And, you know, they went out and I thought what they were going to do with this offseason was upgrade the other side of the ball, and instead...
They just doubled down on the offense. Johnson and Gore.
Which is, you know, great veteran leadership, good pickups, guys that have been in the league a while. I'm probably more on the downside than anything else, simply because of age.
Sure.
But with Andrew Luck operating your offense, I mean, you can expect pretty solid production. I just didn't understand. I was like, why are they not going after a nose tackle? I don't know who they drafted or anything like that. But
and that's why. And you remember me saying this. It's like that's why it baffled me that we took with our first round pick, we took a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what I think we're playing for is we're playing to get through the division.
Okay.
Which we can do on offense alone.
Sure.
And I don't know. I hate to say that because we do have good defensive pieces. It's like our offensive line. Our defense is almost there, but it's just missing a couple of pieces. Yeah. And that's really what it boils down to.
One thing I gotta say is I disagree with what you're saying about how to beat the Colts as far as getting to a shootout with them. I mean, the team that figured out how to beat the Colts last year was the Patriots, and they did it by taking the air out of the ball by keeping it on the ground. They ran, they pounded it. Here's the difference with the Colts.
If they
can stop the run, they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. That's how I feel about it. Not just get out of the division.
The word run.
It's just not
just
a good
not
game. It's
a
not
good
a good
word
for the Colts.
Colts camp, man. Like, It's our kryptonite right now on both sides of the ball, and if we can just get an ounce of that going in the right direction, we are a serious candidate for the Super Bowl. But
yeah,
I'm not ready.
That's the only thing you're missing.
I'm not ready to buy into the hype of the media until I see what we can do on both sides of the ball when it comes to the run.
Right. That makes sense.
So that being said, hey Steve. Oh wait, you're not here. So your assignment.
Okay, yeah.
Being taken
NFC East. I got this, guys.
Christian, you're nailing it. Steve.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well.
Should we do this by committee?
I honestly didn't prep for this. So, does anyone have anything they want to say about?
Just spitballing as far as the NFC East goes. I think it's the Cowboys division.
Okay.
If this whole bit with Philadelphia pans out and Sam Bradford is actually, it's a small sample size and it's only preseason, but if he actually continues to look the way he's looked in the preseason.
He looked nice.
Chip Kelly could look like a goddamn genius. Because all offseason people are like, what is he doing? What's going on in Philadelphia? Mm-hmm. Why are they doing this? And if it somehow pans out
he's just
and they win the division, he's going to look like the second coming of insert elite head coach from college football here. I don't know. But it's going to just...
Harbaugh, maybe?
Suppose. I mean, you could roll with it.
I mean, totally different style. But
I mean, yeah, but I mean...
Ringer college coach.
Absolutely.
Coming
and coming in and establishing a really... really establishing Oregon football at the professional level. I mean, that's essentially what he's trying to do. And if it pans out with Bradford, I mean, the main thing, I don't think anybody's ever really felt like Bradford can't play. Can he stay on the field?
That's all it really boils down to.
So if he can do that, if he can stay healthy. See, that's the other thing, though, about the Chip Kelly offense. You'd be running a lot of snaps.
Exposes the quarterback. I mean, screw Terrell Suggs for that low hit on him, but what he said was true. If you're going to run the option with your quarterback over and over again in preseason, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, man.
That's why I really thought they might... I was really thinking they might have kept Tebow to run some of those Wildcat style.
I think if Tebow was going to fit on a team, it would be that one. Oh, he totally fits into that system.
Well, apparently he doesn't, so.
Well, people were talking about using him in 2-point conversion situations and just having
which
that
I think
be
is
like
genius,
his package,
actually.
I think they just dropped him because of the baggage. Whenever Tebow's a backup, the minute something goes slightly wrong, the crazy gang
starts chanting for him.
All those nut jobs who are cheering about Kim Davis
clearly,
getting out of jail today are going to be out picketing for Tebow.
And clearly,
you know,
Chip Kelly is not someone who wants any kind of drama.
Oh, yeah. McCoy opened his mouth once, gone.
Same thing with
Deshaun Jackson.
He doesn't want to have anything to do with it.
Nope.
But, yeah, if I had to just off the top of my head, I think it would go Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, and then, bringing up the rear would be the Washington football franchise.
Yeah, I don't think there's a doubt about that.
I just think it's bad.
Shout out to their GM's wife for being the worst.
I could. That was hilarious, by the way. I could see the Giants.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Pushing for second. I only give Philly the edge because I think they have a slightly better defense, and they're more balanced on offense than the Giants are.
Yeah.
That would be the only reason.
Yeah, just the thing is, like, I'd pick Giants as, like, I'm still going Eagles second, but Giants exact same as you. Just because I hate underestimating the Giants. Done it twice, and it sucked for me. And big asterisk, if this crazy rumor we're hearing about them trying to snag Cam Chancellor away from Seattle actually happens,
I think
they will be in second. That's a huge stretch.
That's...
But if they actually pull that off, I like the Giants.
Do you think Victor Cruz has a resurgence this year? Because the injury he had last year was absolutely devastating. Like,
horrible.
It was awful.
Worst of the season.
Of course, you don't wish that on anyone, but I don't think people remember that he had a really bad first few games of the season. Like, he had an insane amount of dropped passes that were catchable. Like, he did not look like the Victor Cruz we all know and have come to love over
salsa
the years. Yeah. I mean, he was not doing much salsa dancing last season before he got hurt. Do you think he has a resurgence, or do you think it's still the OBJ show?
It's definitely the OBJ show, but I think in a way that's going to help Cruz.
Exactly.
Because, listen, you know, you're right. He wasn't good at the beginning of last year, and he will clearly have lost a step from his prime, you know, form after this injury that kept him out.
Sure.
Because those injuries, it's so rare. I mean, Adrian Peterson coming back from a crazy injury like that, you know, that was...
See, but it's not that crazy anymore, because Jamal Charles did the same thing, too.
Yeah.
The BD just didn't get as much credit for it, because wasn't Adrian Peterson that
right
year.
Because Adrian Peterson was a freak of nature.
I mean,
but for now, the general rule is that knocks a step off them.
No,
agreed?
I got you.
Especially at his age, he's not exactly like...
I don't know how old Victor Cruz
but
is.
Isn't he at the tail end of his 20s?
But the bottom line is, people are going to be paying so much attention to Beckham that Cruz is just going to be faced with a lot more, you know, second option receptions. And I think he's a good enough receiver that he's not going to screw that up.
Okay. Well,
okay. Yeah, Cruz is 28. So
okay, yeah. So
he's getting a little older, yeah. Answer your question. Yeah, I think he'll have a resurgence. I think that offense, I think OBJ makes everybody on that entire offense way better. I've seen it with
especially Eli Manning.
And elite receivers can do that.
ridiculous catches making Eli Manning look good? That's never happened.
No, but just beyond just like that whole spiel.
Yeah, sorry.
But I just,
I got carried away.
No, I got you. But I'm just saying, like, I've seen it with Randy Moss. Like, Randy Moss made Dante Culpepper, Jeff George, Randall Cunningham, Brad Johnson. I mean, terrible quarterbacks look amazing.
Brad Johnson is a Hall of Fame quarterback, thank you very much.
I do love old BJ. He's
Cunningham wasn't bad. He had his moments.
No, Cunningham was bad. He had one good year, and then he was hurt. He was bad. He was a backup, flash in the pan. Everything was right for us in 98.
You're thinking about NFL Blitz, not real life.
I was going to say, I watched
NFL Blitz.
Great. I watched that Missing Rings episode recently, and he looked good then.
Oh, no. In 98, he was unreal. But he was throwing to Chris Carter, Jake Reed, and Randy Moss. Three deep, man. Like,
yeah, that's
like,
true.
That's
hard to screw that.
They could make Drew look as a great quarterback.
Man, I can't even see over the offensive line. But I just know Moss is at least 60 yards downfield, and he's got a shot. So you just throw it up. But yeah, I think Odell Beckham Jr. is that guy.
Yeah.
And that he... He
makes everyone else on the team better.
I think
even Reuben Randall?
I think the run game will get better. I think everything about the Giants
gets better.
Is better because of Odell Beckham Jr. I feel like
you're right. I'm hoping T.Y. is that for the Colts this year. I'm hoping he makes everyone better. He's on the cusp. But do you have any sleepers for that division off the top of your head?
I mean, right now, just from what I've seen, Sam Bradford could be sneaky friggin' good.
If he can stay on the field, man, he's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
He seems like he has a really solid understanding of what Chip Kelly wants as far as this offense goes. Foles had that good stretch in the back half of 2 years ago. It was 2013,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
That was really good. But then rolling into last season, it...
Not so much.
He didn't quite have it pinned down the way that, you know,
now
the
defense is keyed in on him. And,
you know, keeping with that, here's my sleeper, actually. Zach Ertz.
Yeah,
I think Zach Ertz would be.
So.
Yeah, here's
interesting.
Why. He's because, you know, they lost a bunch of their receiving options from that system in the last couple of years. He's been in it. He knows that system. I think he's good. I think he's going to be, I don't think he's going to be like a world beater, but I think he's going to be a player who makes a big step this year.
Oh, I hope so.
Me and Drew are hoping that Larry Donnell is that, because we both got him on our fantasy teams.
Yeah. I got Larry Donnell, I got Zach Ertz in our
team. I had him last year. He had some good weeks for me.
And I've got Larry Donnell in my work fantasy league. So, but yeah, that's actually pretty.
That's a good pick. That's interesting.
He fits the mold.
Because I don't hear a lot of people after last year. He didn't have an amazing season. It's like last year you heard a lot of people raving about Zach Ertz, but then he didn't have the greatest year.
Right.
Partially due to his quarterback situation throughout the year, but now it doesn't seem like you hear a lot of people talking about
it. He doesn't have Mark Sanchez throwing the ball. That's a
good game. Dude, the Sanchez is everything.
That's
God. I showed somebody the butt fumble for the first time ever.
Did they cry out loud?
They laughed so hard.
Best Thanksgiving ever.
That was pretty much
outside of last year with Steve screaming drunk at the 49ers on Thanksgiving. That was pretty great.
That was pretty funny.
That was rough
stuff. Oh, we're gonna have another good Thanksgiving this year.
I know.
It's Bears and Packers.
Ooh.
And they're retiring Brett Favre's number.
And I'm making turkey.
And you're
making
turkey.
Which is really all that matters.
And it's Thanksgiving, and there's tons of food, and we get...
All right. Any last thoughts?
A bust? Do we want to pick a bust?
Oh, sure. Yeah, pick a bust.
I don't want to do it, because I like him. I think it could be Tony Romo.
Ooh.
I think it could be.
Without what? Why?
I don't... Gone?
I think
he looked... I like Tony Romo. I do. I know that there's a lot of hate for Tony Romo, and I think a lot of it is more due to the fact that he wears a Cowboys uniform than anything else. Because if the Tony Romo story was happening on any other NFL franchise, people would be friggin' in love with him. I like Tony Romo.
I love his DirecTV ad, by the way.
He's super funny, dude.
That was surprisingly hilarious.
Steve showed me he did a Letterman not too long ago. Super, super funny. Really funny guy. That being said, if I had to pick a bust out of the division, if I had to pick one person, I think he would be it.
Okay.
Don't necessarily... that. I'm not picking him because I think he will bust, but he seems like the most likely candidate given how... because he was an MVP candidate conversations last year. Like, yeah. For a while. And things kind of fell apart that direction.
Can I give you my bust and expand on why I think you're pretty correct about this?
Sure.
As I think my bust for this division is the Dallas Cowboys running game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's look at it this way. You've got Joseph Randle, who in the limited snaps that he got was pretty competent.
Looked pretty good.
His maturity isn't there. He clearly had off-the-field issues. You've got Darren McFadden, who is just old.
He's just...
And he's also hurt. And I think what ends up happening is Christian Michael ends up being your starter down the line if Joseph Randle doesn't get it done. And it's clearly a kid who has some talent. He played Texas A&M football. He knows how to play the game. But he's someone the Seahawks were willing to give up, even when they really needed a true backup for Marshawn Lynch. They would have rather had
Turbin.
Old Fred Jackson,
than
Christian Michael. So I really think what ends up happening is you don't get the dangerous running back like you had in DeMarco Murray, and it really just puts a lot more pressure on Romo throwing the ball. And as great as Dez is, you know corners are going to be keyed in on him all year.
Right.
You're not going to be able to give him the ball every single play. And without the dangerous running game that you had last year, I just don't know if Romo has the kind of season that he did last year. So that's I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I just... I don't... Because I don't see it getting better, I don't think it can get better. I think it has to go another direction. I don't think that Romo's just going to be...
I think Romo...
Because when he... I love the dude, but either he shows up and lights it up, or he does not show up and...
He shows up and burns it to the ground.
It's not good. And I think more often than not, he's usually on the better side of things. It's just when he does shit the bed, man, he leaves.
It's really going to be interesting to see that team without DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
I'm really curious. Christian, do you have anything to add?
I actually like your pick. I was going to say whoever the running back for the Dallas Cowboys is.
Okay. So we're kind of all in agreement that this Dallas Cowboys offense could potentially be a bust.
But we still got to win the division, so...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
I feel kind of the same.
In the land of hypotheticals, let's say this came...
Starring Adam Brill.
And I still think that Cam Chancellor will suit up and will play games for Seattle. I think he will be there week one. That's just a feeling that I have.
You feel differently than his teammates do.
No, absolutely. But I think that conversation is why.
Okay.
I think
so
now
you're expecting to wake up to find that Cam Chancellor is settled? That's basically where we're at right now.
I just think that... Cam Chancellor is the undisputed leader of that defense. That being said, so let's say I'm wrong. Let's say he doesn't show up and he continues his holdout to get paid and they ship him to New York. What does that do to this conversation, and where do we move the Giants up?
I put them at two. I wouldn't put them at one quite yet. Their run game isn't good enough for me to do on that. I mean, they basically are looking at having their offense-wise, Manning throwing it to Beckham, maybe Cruz, and like Larry Donnell.
Thank God.
Might.
Reuben Rand, maybe.
don't say those words.
The thing, though, that Cam Chancellor does is, I mean, he does a lot of things, but it makes Dez Bryant a little bit less
efficient. Yeah. I would love to see Cam Chancellor light Dez up. Yeah. Well, actually, I wouldn't have Dez in my fantasy team, but take that back. Dez, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
So, but yeah, no, I just curious. I love Cam Chancellor. He's the best safety in the league.
He's a killer, man. Just watch like a highlight reel of hits.
Dude, and
Vernon Davis goes to bed and checks under the bed for Cam Chancellor.
And that's why I think he will suit up and play for the Seahawks, because It sounds like
I hope you're right, because I love watching that dude
play
football.
It sounds like he is the undisputed leader in the Seahawks locker room. If you need something, if you want something,
which is why they probably should have paid him.
You
first.
Go to Cam Chancellor. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's
you made your decision. Got
to
stick with it.
I mean, I still think they were right to pay Earl Thomas. I mean, he lends a whole dimension to that.
No, but I think he's talking about the Russell Wilson deal and how much Kevin sucked up this offseason. Mm-hmm.
I think we can all agree that Russell Wilson deal is shenanigans.
Overpaid.
Because a lot of guys really, 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 like, I read an article where, like, GMs, other executives, especially agents, don't want the Seahawks to cave. They don't want
I believe it.
The Seahawks to cave and give Chancellor what he wants.
That just means more money for all the safeties.
Well, no, but that's the thing, is like, if the Seahawks keep setting this precedent to their players, like, if you bitch and whine, we'll give you more money, or if you threaten to hold out, it's going to encourage more elite players to be like, I ain't playing.
Yeah.
Pay me. I'm not playing.
To be fair, though, this isn't exactly new. I mean, Revis.
No, it's totally... I mean, that is true, but... On what makes it a unique, a little bit different situation is Revis just left.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, Seattle's paying these guys. Right. Like, if they, Chancellor just got a deal. Like, I love Cam Chancellor, but he just got a deal a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Wilson deserved to get paid more, but he didn't deserve number two quarterback.
And that's where, but you bring up a good point. What we're forgetting about Cam Chancellor is he did renegotiate. He just didn't get as much as he wants now.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, he made a new deal, but he made it 2 years too early before they won the Super Bowl, and now the guys who negotiated later, they got paid.
Yeah, man.
All right. We got to get out of here. We're running long. So, guys, we did it. We got through the entire NFL. If you want to recap, go back and listen to basically episodes 28 through now.
We'll listen to all of them.
Yeah, just listen to all of them,
just
too.
Listen to all of them.
And as always,
you're not doing anything tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. And as always, you know the deal. Like us on Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, tell your friends. If chances are, if you like sports, you have friends that also like sports. Tell them. We want more people to listen to this because we have a lot of fun doing it, and we want to keep doing it. So. Yeah, do all of those things. And, of course, go to the51yardline.com. We got a bunch of new pieces up. One from Drew's brother about the Vikings. One from Christian about the Patriots. One from myself about the Colts, specifically their offensive line. And we'll probably have some more going up here in the next few days. So,
if you listen to the show and you love football, and you have something that you want to say, send it in to us. We'll review it and maybe slap it up there.
Absolutely.
We
always are looking for more contributors to the website. So if you've got anything you want to say, say it, write it down, and we'll probably put it up. So that being said, for Christian Schneider.
Let's do this, pets.
God damn it. For Drew Willers.
Teddy!
I missed that. I'm Tyler Berry, and we'll see y'all next week. Happy week one, y'all.